Willie Terry, your labor roaming correspondent for the Hustle Mohawk magazine, and I'm here at Siena College at the Underground Railroad Conference. And I'm at a workshop right now called Aretha Franklin, Activism, Pride, and Respect. And this workshop has been done by Donna Hyman, who is an independent researcher. And how are you doing, Donna?
Hey, I'm doing great, Willie. Glad to see you here. Thanks for coming by.
So you're doing a workshop on Aretha Franklin. What's significant about Aretha Franklin?
Well, I'm talking about at the Underground Railroad.
Well, because you're looking at the fact that if you're connecting her to the struggles that the Underground Railroad is talking about, that African-American men and women had to go through, she basically is a continuation of that struggle. And she becomes a pivotal point at a time in African-American history in the 60s when the civil rights movement was at its peak. Her involvement with Dr. King and the movement goes back even further. So I connected that to the Underground Railroad and the struggles. First of all, her family comes out of Mississippi. I'm talking about on her mother's side and on her father's side. And we're talking about Deep South. We're talking about sharecroppers. We're talking about segregation. We're talking about racism. We're talking about finding a way out of that. And in her case, her father was a minister. And as you know, in most African-American communities, even through slavery time and back to Africa, the spiritual advisor had a very important position in the community. And that continues. Along with the changes that went about in America post-Civil War, we know that during Reconstruction, African Americans became were able made citizens, given the right to vote. Slavery was outlawed, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. And what goes about as a result of that is a form of enfranchisement where you have at least 3,000 elected officials by 1875 in the South. But all of this is turned around after with the Hayes Compromise. And the Union pulls out soldiers, and the South rewrites its own state constitutions, which slowly but surely disenfranchise African American voters, and they lose a considerable amount of political rights in the South until we go about in the 1950s and 60s with the Civil Rights Movement. How is that significant, and how is it connected to Aretha Franklin? Well, like I said, her family, especially her father, was very active. One of the things that was significant about African-American community in the United States in the 1920s, that with the coming of industrialization in the primary northern cities like Chicago, Detroit, New York City, Philadelphia, there is a migration to those areas specifically for work purposes. In those areas, communities develop in Detroit, in Chicago, in New York, in Philadelphia. And those areas, people, when they come, they bring their culture with them. And how does, back to Aretha Franklin, how does this relate? One of the cultural phenomena that we talk about is the church. And her father is a Baptist minister. And he's in the 1950s, he will pastor one of the largest Baptist churches in Detroit, New Bethel. She lives in the community. However, her family is kind of at a higher level in terms of social status because of the fact that he's a minister.
But you said she was a black, family was a black middle class during that time?
I would say even upper black middle class, because they kind of stayed in a mansion, which is owned by the church, but you know, he's driving around in a Cadillac, and they go to schools, and they have people that cook for them and wait on them. So,
what was the father's name?
Reverend C.L. Franklin. He was one of the prominent ministers of the 50s. Mm-hmm. Now, I need to connect with what your initial question was. How does this connect to the Underground Railroad? Well, this path to freedom that African Americans have sought throughout their time in the New World. Part of the Great Migration was to escape some of the oppression and lack of opportunities in the South of the United States. But remember, when people migrate and move, they bring their culture. They bring their religion, they bring their food, they bring their music, they bring their dance. that bring their philosophy. And one of the things that's important is we're able to see the greatest influence in terms of their music because it comes out of the South. The gospel music that they do in their churches, it has a lot of feeling. It's very improvisational. It rides the theme. It doesn't have a 2-minute limit or 3-minute limit. When people migrate to Chicago, where they have Salem Baptist, or they go to Abyssinia in Harlem, they bring that tradition with them of worshiping and praising. And part of that is the songs that they sing. Back to Reverend C.L. Franklin. He has a church. He has children, Aretha Franklin, her brother Cecil, her sister Irma, and they sing in the church. And when she's a very young age, she's very gifted. And we're talking about listening to somebody like Art Tatum, who comes to visit his father and able to play what he's playing. She plays by ear. She's got like this genius thing at 6 or 7. And her father encourages her to sing. And one of the songs she does is a Sam Cooke song, who's also a guest at their house from time to time, Jesus Be a Fence Around Me. Mm-hmm. By the time Aretha Franklin is 15, and then like 1958, she records a gospel album called Songs of Faith. One of the songs on there is Precious Lord. It's recorded in the church. And one of her father's good friends is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who comes to speak at the church. Now, if you know anything about the 1950s, it's around 1958 when all of the stuff that's going on in Montgomery, the bus ride, Dr. King comes to prominence and sort of looked at as a leader of the civil rights movement because of the success of that boycott in Montgomery with Rosa Parks. Okay. And so one of the people that go in 1958 on tour with him, because the preachers will speak, they'll have a singer before that, is Aretha Franklin, who's a friend of the family, who's good friends with her father. And so her connection to Dr. King goes back a long way before she sings at his funeral in 1968. Today in my workshop, I have a flyer where the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, Dr. King's organization, was having financial problems in 67. Aretha Franklin does 10 shows. At this time, she's getting about $15,000, $20,000 a concert. And in 1967, that was enough to buy a house, a car, and maybe send your kids to college, the value of the money. She donates what's like $250,000, which would be equivalent to about $2 or $3 million today, to his organization. Her connection is very large, and her father's connection in 63, in June, before the March on Washington. In Detroit, they have the largest march in American history, which is called the Great Walk. Her father sets that up. So her family and her were always involved actively in the civil rights movement. It wasn't something they picked up because everybody marched on Washington. They had been doing it. Dr. King stayed at their house. Aretha talks about him getting up one morning and asking their cook what they had. And she said, I got bacon, I got eggs, I got some sausages. He said, well, I'm going to have some bacon, some egg, and some sausages. So her then becoming the Queen of Soul, and at a time when African-Americans and America is mourning the loss of one of the greatest leaders, her presence on television, where it's 150 million people watching, and it's not Diana Ross or Dionne Warwick or Nancy Wilson singing Precious Lord, it's Aretha Franklin. And the reason that she's up there singing it is not because she's at the height of her fame. They're not picking her because she's at the height of the fame for doing respect. It's because there already was a continual connection between her family that went all the way back to when she was a teenager and a little girl.
Don, I want to say that the things you're saying, like a lot of people didn't know, you know, how deeply involved Aretha Franklin was.
That's why I'm doing this.
With the civil rights movement and the struggle of African Americans in this country.
That's why I'm doing this.
And I want to ask you, could you tell me just a little bit about yourself? I know I call you Soul Man, and you got jazz playing in the background. I mean, the jazz man too. But I also wanted you to tell people how to get in touch with you, you know, if they want to have you to come and, you know, talk to them about this subject.
Okay, I would love to. You can reach me at DonaldHyman567@yahoo.com. That's DonaldHyman567@yahoo.com.
Donald, thank you for acquiescing to this interview to talk about the Queen of Soul, which is so important.
Okay. Thank you, too.